the thought that we're going to take with us is I do not perceive my own best interest. I do not perceive my own best interest. That's the thought I want you to focus in on. I do not perceive my own best interest. I do not perceive my own best interest. I do not perceive my own best interest. I don't perceive my own best interest. I don't perceive my own best interest. I don't perceive my own best interest. And then, of course, as you follow that up with, everything is for my own best interest. I do not perceive my own best interest, and everything is for my own best interest. Everything that's happening to me is for my own best interest. Everything that's happening to me is for my own best interest. Everything that's happening to me is for my own best interest. The way things are going right now are for my own best interest. The way things are going right now are for my own best interest. Focus on that thought. The way things are going for me right now is for my own best interest. Go past any resistance. Go past any resistance. If you feel any resistance, don't let it stop you. Everything is for my own best interest. I don't perceive my own best interest. Everything is for my own best interest. And I don't perceive my own best interest. Okay. We're going to be on page 47 in the teacher's manual. And it's called How is Correction Made? That's the section. It's called How is Correction Made? So good to see you. Yeah. Correction of a lasting nature, and only correction of a lasting nature is true correction. Correction of a lasting nature in the situation or circumstance you think you're dealing with right now. Can I make it personal? Can I make it personal? Okay. Correction of a lasting nature, and only this is true correction, cannot be made until you, the teacher of love, has ceased to confuse interpretation with fact or illusion with truth. That means if you argue with another person about an ego thought, I'm giving you Course in Miracles definitions. If you argue with another, which is your pupil, by the way, if you argue with another person about an ego thought, if you attack their ego thoughts, if you try to establish its error or demonstrate its falsity, you are but witnessing to its reality. Depression is being inevitable. Because you have proved both to the person that you're trying to show them how wrong they are and yourself that it is your task to escape from what's real. And escaping from what's real can only be impossible. Reality is changeless. Magic thoughts or ego thoughts or fearful thoughts are but illusions. Otherwise, the salvation, which is the answer, which is the course, would only be the same age-old impossible dream in just another form. Yet the dream of healing, which is salvation, has new content. It's not the form alone in which the difference lasts. Okay, so if you want to have a correction that lasts, you have to stop confusing your interpretation of what's going on with what's really going on. And you have to stop arguing with the people around you about the thoughts that you don't agree with and attack them and try to establish this error and demonstrate its falsity. Because the more you try to demonstrate the falsity of somebody else's own ego thoughts that they believe in, the more you give it power and the more you give it reality. And so you're really convincing them that their point of view is correct and you're going to get depressed. Okay? Then it goes on to tell us we're getting depressed because by constantly trying to prove to everybody else that what they believe and think is wrong, I am really making it real. And if I make it real, then I can't escape from something I keep making real. I can't, you know, it's almost like I can't escape from an ice cube that I keep freezing. You know, and whatever you're doing, you can't escape from what you are making real. So if I keep on making it real, then I'm not going to escape from it. And if I try to convince you that your ego thoughts are wrong, then I am just making it real, and then I will feel like I'm totally depressed because it looks like I'm not getting anywhere with you, doggone it. Okay. Reality is changeless. Ego thoughts are just illusions. So anything that a person thinks is not the truth, since it's not the truth, it doesn't have any power in the first place, so it's not really affecting anything that's real. So if we don't take a different approach, then we must be using the same old approach that we've always used before. Is that right?
Yes.
So that's what the courts are saying. If we go about it the way that everybody else goes about it, then the course is basically telling us we're just doing the same age-old impossible dream in another form. We're just doing something we've done before in another form, which is what? I'm going to try to change everything outside of me, improve everybody else what they're doing wrong, and get them to be something different, and then I'm going to be happy. And that's what I'm doing when I'm constantly arguing with you about what you believe that's not true. That's what I'm doing when I'm always trying to establish the error of what you think, and that's what I'm doing when I'm always trying to just demonstrate how false what you are saying or doing is. And even though there's a part of me that absolutely hates what I just said, okay, absolutely don't like that at all, because I love to get everybody else change, okay, so I'm going to pass this around. What I want you to do is just tear a page out of it, okay, but don't write on it. It's not for taking notes. Okay? Alright. So, okay, would y'all like to go deeper in the course than we've ever gone before? Okay, the way that we're going to do it is that no matter how much resistance, no matter how much misunderstanding, no matter how much you're tempted to run out the door, you're going to stay. And you're going to let yourself hear it whether you like it or not, or whether you understand it or not. And if you'll do that, we can go deeper. Now, if you try to leave, I'm not going to stop you, because that's what you should do. So everybody should have that freedom to get away from what they're afraid of. But I know that right now, everything is so intense in my personal experience, and I'm seeing through the illusion so clearly, and I'm so tired of trying to do the same old thing in just another form, and at the same time I'm seeing the truth in a way I've never seen it before, that if I don't give it to myself intensely, if I don't give it to myself sincerely, if I don't give it to myself with determination and focus, then I feel like I'll explode. It's like I can't do it lightly. I can't try to convince myself anymore. I can't try to convince nobody else anymore. It's like I want to meet some people who are as miserable as me, and some people who are in ecstasy as me. I want to meet some people that's reached their limit as much as me, and I want to meet some people who are ready to recognize the truth of who they are as much as me. That's what I got to do. Because my thoughts create my reality. And my experience is going to be an expression of my predominant thought, feelings, and emotions. And I'll never live in the reality that this book is describing until my mind thinks like this. Because at the point that my mind thinks like this, then that's when my reality will transform into this, and it won't happen a minute sooner. I like to watch the news because the news motivates me. People go out to news. You look at the news for a week and you've become the most dedicated yes. student that ever did.
That's true.
You'll see how completely insane it is. You'll see and hear the craziest things you've ever seen. I hope the Rockies win the World Series.
Yeah.
Because I am the Rockies. And I also hope the Red Sox win, because I am the Red Sox. So the way I look at it, whoever wins, I win. That's the way the whole thing works. I don't lose no matter what. The only way I lose is if I separate and take sides. And every time you separate and take sides, you create the possibility of loss for yourself. Because you're not saying, I want a win-win situation across the board. So, I want a win-win situation across the board, and I know I can't have it unless I want it for everybody else, too. So, this right here is our ego. Okay, this is your ego, and that's called your self-concept, which is your picture of yourself. And so, tonight, I'm going to be talking about your self-concept and your picture of yourself that you identify with, that you think is you. And when you hear the truth, this part of you that believes this story feels threatened by the truth, and it feels like it's going to lose, and subconsciously wants to get the hell away. Okay, but you are not your picture. You are not your ego. So that's what the course is saying. Would you hold your ego up for me? Okay. Now, If I try to talk to her, if I try to talk to that piece of paper, I'm crazy. Okay? And that's the way it is when you're talking to somebody's ego. It's like talking to a piece of paper. You're talking to something that doesn't exist, that's totally insane, that believes just the opposite of everything that's true, wants to be right, and believes that it's the victim of everything that's around it. And so when it course, so when it, would you vouch for that?
Yeah.
And what everybody vouches that their picture is, let's wave out pictures. Yeah. All right. And if we're lucky, then my picture will get down with your picture. Then we had a great week.
I get good pictures.
That's right.
Yes.
People without a sense of humor are mortified. Okay.
Just going to get a paper cut.
So if we try to prove what he says is wrong, or we try to prove what he says is not true, then we make it real.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? So when I talk about your ego, and I'm talking about your picture of yourself, the concept of yourself that you have carried with you from the day you were born. And when you go to truth classes, that part of you is the part that wants to get away from the truth, and that's the part of you that tries to do you in. And so we could simply say, your ego is
yeah.
And everybody's got one.
Mm-hmm.
And all we need is to be set to music and it'll be just beautiful. Oh, you know, I was born black in the South. And I was born to a poor family. And because my father was not always around, that's why I'm the butthole I am today. And then the Holy Spirit says, well, why don't you stop analyzing your story and breaking it up into little bitty pieces? And then as you've broken it up in so many little pieces, it doesn't make any sense to you or anyone else. So instead of trying to get somebody to figure out your little pieces and put them back together again, why don't you just allow the part of you that loves you to erase it for you? All this stuff you're trying to do could be done for you, through you, through your divine God self. Okay, but to get to that new story, we've got to be willing to admit that we're the one that's carrying around the old story. You know, it's almost like when you meet somebody and y'all having a really cool time connecting up and y'all getting ready to join and you're getting ready to have your relationship and you're getting ready to connect and you go, oh, just a minute. I got to get a few bags. And I'm going to bring my bag with me in our relationship. And I'm going to deal with you in terms of all the stuff that's in this bag. And then why don't we just open the bag and analyze the contents of the bag. And the Course in Miracles is saying, recognize your bag and go the other way. Recognize your bag and go the other way. Don't spend any more time trying to analyze your problems. When you analyze your problems, you just make them real. I didn't say there wasn't a solution. I said that when you analyze your problems, you make them real. All right? So I'm going to love you too much to see you the way you see yourself if you see yourself without love. Because the problem is the picture. And I need a brand new perception of myself. Okay? All right. So the Course then says, so in other words, if we don't do it differently, he's saying if we don't do it differently, then we're just doing the same thing we've always done. We're just doing it a new way. The next paragraph says, God's teachers, that's you, by the way, love's teachers. God's teachers' major lesson to learn is how to react to the ego, the illusion, the magic, the experience, their ego thoughts, their fear thoughts, wholly without anger. Only in reaction to the ego, the magic without anger, can you proclaim the truth about yourself. And since you're not angry, through you, the Holy Spirit, which is love, which is God, can now speak the reality of you and everybody else. And so because you're not getting angry at your own self and your own ego thoughts and your own fear thoughts and your own depression thoughts, you're no longer beating yourself up for having those thoughts. Now Spirit can remind the world through you of innocence, which is sinlessness, which is the one unchanged, unchangeable condition of all that God created. Now that you are no longer getting upset with yourself about getting upset, no longer hating yourself about having fear, no longer being upset with yourself about getting depressed, no longer condemning yourself for your false ideas, now Spirit, which is God, can speak the truth, which is the Word of God, to listening ears, and bring Christ's vision, which is love, to eyes that see. Now, because you're no longer beating yourself up with your false ideas and beating everybody else up and being mad at yourself. He didn't say you wouldn't have magic thoughts. He didn't say we wouldn't have magic thoughts. He didn't say we wouldn't have illusionary thoughts. He says when you learn how to react to them without getting mad about it. Mm-hmm. See, that's a key thought. We go, oh my God, I've got to get rid of all these negative thoughts that I have before I can be happy. And you know, and then you pump, then you create more every hour, right? I got to get rid of these weary thoughts, these upset thoughts. And the Course is saying, well, the way you get rid of them is to stop getting upset with yourself for having them. Stop getting upset with yourself for having them. Stop getting upset with yourself for having them. That sounds like heresy to the part of my mind. The part of my mind that believes everything that comes from being, comes good, comes from being positive. That's like heresy. So did the Course say you shouldn't be positive? Did it say you shouldn't be inspirational? Did it say you shouldn't be awesome in your expression? No, it just says stop getting angry at your magic thoughts. Stop getting upset with yourself about the thoughts that you have from the world. Stop getting upset with yourself about your ego thoughts. Stop getting upset with yourself because you don't feel loving all the time. Stop getting upset with yourself because you sometimes you don't want to be around nobody. And you feel like that's not spiritual when I can just basically shoot everybody I see walking. That doesn't sound very Christ-like. I can't even tell you how many people I've wanted to run over on Colfax. Because you see that people come here to die and they try to use you to take them out. I'm telling you, I was coming down Ray's, getting ready to come down Colfax yesterday. And the light turned green, then the guy came out of the street. And he ran out of the street trying to beat the cop. And I was like watching him. And then as soon as he got over to the other side of the street, guess what he did? He started walking. So he risked his life just for no reason at all, because he wasn't really in a hurry, because as soon as he got on the other side of the street, he just started walking. Okay. And then the Holy Spirit said to me, that's the way you are. You're no different, Earl. You do the exact same thing. You put yourself in danger and in fear for no reason at all, and for no reason at all. But you know what? Just like you looked out for that guy and you didn't run over him because you had sanity, mm-hmm. The same thing is happening to you right now from a whole nother level. Mm-hmm. You're being looked at with the same kind of sanity that you just looked at that guy that walked out in the street. You think you're at the top of the totem pole. You're so used to looking down, you forget you can look up and there's something greater than you and it's all around you. But you're so in your ego that you think you're the highest person on the rung and you got to look out for everybody else. As if something's not looking out for you and your insanity. Mm-hmm. So you got to stop getting upset with yourself for the errors you make, just like you know that other people need to stop getting upset with themselves for the error they make. The real reason why I teach these classes, I tell you from the bottom of my heart, the reason why I teach these classes is so I can guarantee that I hear some sanity mm-hmm. in this insane world. So that I can make sure I hear some loving thoughts about me, so that I can make sure that I never forget that I'm not from here, and that I am a spiritual being, and that I'm not just a body that's going to grow old and die. I don't want to fall for the lie that I see everybody else around me that represents the sleeping parts of myself. And so my job is to look at the sleeping parts of myself with love, make sure I don't harm them, and keep waking up for them. But I'm not supposed to join them in their sleep, because when you're asleep, your eyes are closed, and when your eyes are closed, you don't even know where you're at. And anything can happen to you when you're asleep. Who would be the easiest time to take somebody out? When you're asleep. So the more unaware you are, the easier it is for you to be taken advantage of and taken out by yourself that doesn't know that it's you. Because the only parts of you that hurt you is just the other part of you that you're pretending isn't you. And he's trying to say, notice me. Notice me. And you don't notice me. Okay, then, so then it says now, this sentence, this paragraph is so deep. He says, and now is guilt, what, forgiven, overlooked completely in your sight and in God's words. And then I read something like that and I go, well, what the heck did he just say? Well, if I'm going to be the way that if peace is going to come through me, if love is going to come through me, then I got to be peaceful in order for it to come through me best. If I'm going to let joy and happiness come into my life, it's got to come through me. How else is it going to get in my experience unless it comes through me? You are the hose. So whatever's going to come through your experience got to come through your hose. You are the hose. You think you're a body, but you're really space. You're the space that everything comes through. And you're fooled into thinking that your body is solid and your body is nothing but space. It's the space that you allow in what you are to come through your experience. So I got to be the way I want to have. I got to be the way I want to have. So if whatever's got to come through me, it's got to be a part of me. So how do I do that? Well, first of all, if I set it up that I got to always think really wonderful thoughts every second or it's never going to happen, then I've already jammed myself completely up. And I'll be spending all my time trying to fix my thoughts and not partying. Because I told God I want to heal the sonship through partying. And so you can choose the form you want. You call that your visualizations. You call that your wishes. You call that your goals. Those are nothing but the forms you're setting up to either let love or fear come into your life. So it doesn't matter what you dream. It's okay. You can want anything you want, because everything in the world is neutral. But you're guaranteed to only have one thing or another happen through what you want. Fear or love. Peace or conflict. Those are the only two choices that you're ever making and I'm ever making all the time. So don't feel guilty about the things you dream about and the things you want to experience and the aspirations you have for yourself. They're all neutral. It doesn't matter what you want to be. So don't think it's about choosing the wrong thing and that means you're a bad person. You can wake up to God as a stripper as easy as you can as a scientist and a Nobel Peace Prize winner. But you got to stop getting mad at yourself about your own desires. You can't be the stripper that feels guilty about it. You can't be the scientist that wishes he was the dancer. You can't be the person at a job you hate every day wishing you were somewhere else. Because then you're getting upset with yourself about your magic thoughts. And if you get upset with yourself about your ego thoughts, you're making the situation that you think you're trapped in real. So your challenge for the rest of the week is, can you have the crappiest thoughts in the universe and not be mad at yourself about it? As well as the coolest thoughts that you can come up with without getting mad at yourself about it. So the ones you allow yourself to stop getting upset with yourself about the thoughts that you have that are less than loving, he says, now the Holy Spirit, which is your real self, can express the truth through you because you are an example of the thing that Spirit wants to demonstrate to people exist. So now you can be used by the good and the love and the abundance of the universe to prove that it is real. So, what about the people that make me mad, upset me, trip me out, and seems like I can't get along with? They're the people who are my teachers. They're the ones who are teaching me how to overlook them. How else am I going to learn how to not get upset with myself, regardless of what I'm thinking and believing, unless I have somebody that gives me the opportunity to see if I can do it? And when you're really sincere about going beyond your illusions, you'll really have some crappy people. Or some really cool people. Usually we have a mixture of both. We usually have some people we see as being extremely cool to be around, and we have some people, those are the people that give us an opportunity to rest. You know, it's like, you're going through your thing and you're becoming strong. You got those people that support you and they're in your corner, like your train or something. They patting you on the back, saying, hey, you're doing the right thing. Then you got the other people who are saying, okay, let's see if you really are able to do what you say that you're about. Right. So are you going to try to prove me wrong? Are you going to make your life purpose trying to get me to be something that I'm not? Are you going to try to change me into what I don't want to be just to please yourself? Or could you just let me be and still go on about your business and be happy? Or do you feel like your personal job is to train, is to change me? You're going to stop on your journey to change me. You're going to stop on your journey to make me out of what you want. You're going to try to prove to me that the way I am and the way I think is not okay. So you're trying to convince me that what I'm about is false and not true. And so you're making it realer, because the more you try to change me, the more I'm going to resist. So I'm going to actually become that person that you don't like. Because you're messing with me. I could see you wanting to change me into something that would be what you wanted me to be if you were thrilling yourself. But are you really such a bargain? That I should change everything about me so that you will be happy? But I don't get out the deal. Somebody who's trying to change me, I don't think that's a good deal. You mean I get a chance to be with somebody who wants to change me all the time as a reward?
Well, the sex is good enough.
No. If the sex is good enough, we will enter insane relationships.
Amen.
We've all of us had the experience of being like completely sane until we got turned on. And as soon as we got turned on, all sanity went right out the window, and we took everything we knew to justify what we knew was not best for us necessarily. But let's face it, it felt good. And you know what? I like to experience things that feel good, and I will admit it to this group tonight. I like to feel good. I enjoy pleasure. I enjoy fun. I enjoy laughter. I enjoy doing what I want to do. Anybody else?
Yes.
Anybody else? All right. So how do we get there faster? Well, the way we get there faster is to leave everybody else alone. I'm on my trip. I'm moving fast. I'm having a good time. That's gonna slow me down. That's gonna slow me down. But suppose I'm just going through my experience with the realization of the truth, knowing that all of you all knew the truth, even if you were pretending like you don't. Which means there's no need for me to try to change any of you, because the truth is in every one of you, and you'll come to the realization just like I come to the realization that I just love you along the way. Then look how fast I'll be moving to what I want. See, that's trippy, isn't it? Because every single one of us could do it tonight. You can leave everybody alone tonight. I thought this had to do with learning how to do physics and learning about the black hole.
And being nice.
And being nice. But I'm familiar with black holes. They're not what is people think they are. Ponder that for a while. And I think it's important right now that somebody talk to me and ask me a question or say something that they're feeling.
Were you following me this week?
I am you. I'm always with you. I'm always with you.
Sometimes you think that's the best way to move into that situation is to isolate yourself.
I think separating yourself from things that don't bring you joy is one of the smartest moves you can make. Mm-hmm. I think that's another misperception that we have, is that somehow or another we are not doing the right things when we avoid misery.
Every change will make us happy.
Yeah, is that something? When it's somebody that's praying for us every day that wants us just the way we are, they're on their knees right now, want somebody just like us. And they'll be sent to us as soon as we're ready to learn what it's like to be happy. Mm. Because the only way you can experience what it's like to be happy would have to be that God would send you something that brings you joy.
Lots of it.
Yeah, that seems like you're having that experience right now.
You're damn straight.
That's right. That's right. Nobody has to make you hang out with her, right? No.
I can't wait.
That's what I'm talking about. See, unless somebody's talking like that, they're the wrong person. So what are you pondering? Let it want you. Let that job want you. Let that thing you want you. And it will come to you as soon as you want to be happy. Because then it can teach you the lesson of happiness. Doesn't that make total sense? Mm-hmm. So much sense that it seems crazy. Mm-hmm. It certainly sounds difficult, right? And you know why? You want to know why? It sounds difficult because you still think it's you that's going to do it. Mm-hmm. And you don't know how. Mm-hmm. Well, I know what I do. I'll make up something else that's going to make me happy. I'll go back to the drawing board. And I'll make up something else. I know what it made me happy. I know it's going to bring me all the joy I ever imagined. Paris. Okay. Now, so the Course in Miracles then goes on to tell us, so then I get a chance to teach you the truth of what you are, because I'm so happy and so peaceful myself that God can use me to bring joy into the world. And so I have to experience what I let come through me. Then it goes on to tell us, whenever you feel angry, you're just screaming, the guilt is real, the guilt is real, the guilt is real, my 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 guilt is real. When you're angry, you're saying, your guilt is real, 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 your guilt is real. Your guilt is real. Your guilt is real. Your guilt is real. Or you're going, my guilt is real. My guilt is real. My guilt is real. My guilt is real. I wonder why nobody's giving me their phone number. Anybody that can see will avoid you. You know, can I find the most dysfunctional woman in the house, please? That's what I'm looking for. Thank you. Don't rescue her. He would have been right on it, boy. He would have been right there to rescue her. Let me come scoop you up and rescue you. Don't you want to see my holy picture?
So much?
You know what I'm saying? Why? Because I was trying to increase my self-esteem. I was trying to make myself feel worthy by all the stuff I was doing for everybody around me, because I didn't think I was valuable. And I thought I would get my value through my works. So I was going to rescue everybody, because every time I did it, it made me feel like I was a better person. And usually the same thing would happen as what happened with Jesus. I get crucified. It was so amazing to watch how many times people would run away from me as if I had been unloving. It was so weird to watch. Then I thought about how many times in my own life I had done the exact same thing. Been around the most incredible beings you could ever imagine. Did not try to make the relationship with them happen. I put all my energy into the people who were a problem. It's like I thought I had the rest of them handled. So I didn't have to invest in my peaceful relationship with you. Why? Because it's peaceful. What I need to work on is my relationship with Helene. And the ones who give you the most hell are always the ones that you feel the most passionate with. That was always weird, too. Y'all ever notice that?
Yeah.
The person that you get lust for is usually the one that terrifies you at other times. They can scare you more than anybody on earth. But they can warn you. Oh. You know. Have you ever been like that? You couldn't wait to see each other. How many minutes is it? I don't know. Let's get together quick as we can. I have gotten up out of bed at 2 o'clock in the morning for a booty call. Thank you. And everybody else is honest. Do you think I don't know that you're just like me? Do you really think I don't know that you're just like me? That you got passions, that you got anger, that you do some things that you hide, and some things that you love, and some things about yourself you like, and some things about yourself you don't like. You know, you're just like me. And since I know you're just like me, then there's no separation between us. You don't have to tell me you like me. You don't have to say, Earl, I understand lust. Because people think of lust in terms of the body and sexuality, but they don't think of lust in terms of all the stuff that we're attached to. Just because your attachment is a different form, that doesn't make you high and mighty. It makes you any more spiritual because you're lusting after, you know what I'm saying, a mean coat. You know, or I'm lusting after acknowledgement, and I'm lusting after recognition, and I'm lusting after, you know, that lust is lust is lust. And guess what? This lesson is telling me, well, Earl, as long as you don't get angry at yourself about being this way, I can use you to bring joy into the world. Yes. Whoa, what? Yeah, if you could just be the way you are, and don't be mad at yourself for being that way, I promise you, I will come through you and transform your whole life into majesty. Because how else are we going to show that love is unconditional than for you to be the way you are and love comes to you anyway? How else is it going to be unconditional? That's what the Holy Spirit talks to me. I'm like, what? That makes too much sense. That's too loving. So why do we want to be that intimate? Why do we want the passion? Because it makes us feel alive. Because deep down inside, we know what it's like to join, and we want to join, and we want to connect, and we hunger to connect. And that's just a symbol of our desire to be one. It's not anything to feel guilty about or to hide in shame. So can you not get angry at yourself for everything you've ever done that was not loving? Could you just realize that that was what you did out of the ignorance that you had about who you really were and what you had been taught, and that was just your call for love, and everybody else is just like you? See, the miracle comes from equality. The minute all of us think we're the same, we'll see unlimited miracles start to happen. All we have to walk out here tonight and say, you know what? Everybody in that room is just like me. Mm-hmm. They got some love. They got some fear. They feel like they want, and then they feel like they're separate. They want to be special. They want to be loved, and sometimes they're afraid of being hurt. And they feel good sometimes, and they feel like the future's getting better sometimes, and they feel like they're really growing like they've always wanted to grow sometimes, and they feel like they got some cool people in their life sometimes. The key word being sometimes. Sometimes the time's alone. Sometimes it looks like it's a short period of time before something else comes up unexpectedly. The Course says the only thing that makes us different is time. Today I'm feeling good, you feeling like crap. Tomorrow you feeling like crap and I'm feeling good. So we're the same. I just did it at a different time than you. We just alike. So don't let time fool you into thinking anybody's better than you. There's nobody better than you. No one more valuable than you. No one more important than you. No one smarter than you. No one more deserving than you. No one. So let's see what it says next. So, anger but screeches, guilt is real. So the Course says, the minute you say guilt is real, reality is blotted out as this insane belief is taken as a replacement for God's word. Okay, so that means that, did I say you're innocent? You are innocent. You are innocent. You are innocent. You are sinless. You are guiltless. You are innocent. You are innocent. You are guiltless. You are innocent. Got it? That's God's word. That's love's word. Now, the minute you go, guilt is real. Well, obviously that doesn't seem true. The minute you go, I am guilty. Well, that's what the book just said. Reality is blotted out as this insane belief is taken as a replacement for God's word. As soon as you believe you're something else other than that innocent being I just told you you were, he says the reality of you is blotted out. Then he says, now this is the deepest thing I've ever seen in my life. He says, now the body's eyes can see the body's ears alone can hear, and the body's little space and its tiny breath becomes the tiny measure of reality, and the truth becomes diminutive and meaningless. Oh, man. Could I act this out?
Yes.
Because sometimes it's easier to do a picture. Okay. I don't know what I'm about to do.
Okay.
We don't
know what we're doing, but we're the same.
Okay.
I like that.
That was coming. Great work, fellas. All right. So how many of you all would dare be willing to admit to me that you always felt deep down inside that this was not your home? I mean, for real, look around. That deep down inside, no matter what anybody else was telling you, a part of you just couldn't buy into it. And not only that, you were kind of wondering why everybody else was really buying it. Okay, you got that, right? Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Now, there are some people that are completely immersed in the dream because they're here to learn that way. They're here to learn through seemingly having no conscious memory of where they came from and what they are. Okay, but that's not your path. Your path is not to try to go to sleep. Your path is not to try to adapt to the dream or to adapt the dream to you, because you know you're only going to be happy with God. You know you're only going to be happy with your Creator. You know you're only going to be happy with the source from which you came. You know that there's something else more than what we're being sold that's the real deal, because you still have some memory of your unlimited nature. Okay? Now, this is what the Course has just said to us. Now, people say, well, how did I get into a body to begin with if I was this unlimited spiritual being? That's a great question. It's like, well, how do we get here in the first place? How do we get here in the first place? Okay, just imagine that you are completely unlimited, right? That means you are formless. That means you don't have any boundaries, right? But in your mind, because you can think anything, comes the idea that guilt is real. And what did the Course say the very next line after you said guilt is real? Who can say that out loud?
Reality is blotted out as the insane belief is taken as replacement for God's word.
Okay, so God's word is that you are totally and completely innocent, and you're totally and completely free, and you're totally and completely powerful. You tell yourself that you're guilty, or you tell someone else that they're guilty. The truth about you is then blotted out. Because that's not the truth about you. Then the Course says what happens is that once you forget the truth, then your body's senses become the total measure of what's real. That's so deep. How did you get in the body? When you forgot your innocence, you had to have a body that could physically see your guilt. I know. Remember, now, this is the way we normally think over here, right? What the Course is saying is, get out of the box. Don't try to fit what I'm saying into what you already believe is true. Mm-hmm. Be willing to take a look at another way of looking at things. So what the Course is saying is, whenever you believe in your guilt, it immediately limits what you can see and feel and experience. And when you hear the truth, it seems diminutive and meaningless. Like right now, what I'm saying may seem totally meaningless to some people in this room. Because I'm not talking about how to get the money to pay the utility bill. I'm not talking about how to get the boyfriend to put the toilet seat down. I'm not talking about how to get the $100,000 lottery. I'm not talking about... See, the truth has become diminutive and meaningless. And the truth is diminutive and meaningless because we are unlimited beings that through having guilt and fear in our minds have now created a reality that's what we see. and we are limited now to only what our physical senses allow us to experience. So now we think if we don't feel it physically, it can't exist. And that's why the truth doesn't mean anything to us, because now we think we're bodies.
So like Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, right? That whole, they felt guilty because they were naked because they ate.
Right, that's a great example of what, yeah. The message gets to us a million different ways. Adam and Eve was cooning out, kicking out in God, and she wasn't worried about cellulite and nothing, you know? Adam certainly wasn't worried about whether he was harmed or not. No guilt whatsoever. No, you know. Y'all know we feel guilty. That's why we wear clothes. We don't want to subject people to that ugly body that we think. If everybody had a cool body, you know, they wouldn't care whether they had on clothes or not. If you knew that wasn't what you were, you wouldn't care. It wouldn't mean any more than this door facing, or this glass, or this table, or this eraser, and my body. It would be something like this board, this book, and my penis. They'd be equal. You wouldn't think that penis. Oh, my God. Watch. Shirt. Pants. Carpet. Why are we singling it out? Guilt. Guilt. And then that guilt limits our perception. It limits our feelings. It limits what we think we can experience. And then we're afraid to do anything because we're so afraid of doing something wrong or doing something bad or not being enough. Guilt limits our perception of ourselves to just what our senses see. And when we hear the truth about our magnificence, when we hear the truth about our innocence, when we hear the truth about our abundance, when we hear the truth about how free we are, it's diminutive and meaningless. That's how much we bought into the story of our guilt and not being enough. That somebody could just look at you in the face and say you're priceless, and it don't mean a damn thing. That's what guilt does. It limits you. So every time I feel guilty, I'm just trying to limit myself. But if I don't get mad at myself for it, it can't block my good. So I'm not worried about trying to get rid of my guilt. It's about me recognizing the truth about myself so much that when I feel guilty, it don't mean nothing. That's why I don't need to know what you feel guilty about. I just know if you're feeling guilty, you're wrong. Because a child of God doesn't ever deserve to be guilty. Now I'm going to stop right here. And then I got something I want to end on. And I'm going to have time enough to do it without having to rush through it. Because I want to make sure that I can cover it with you. Okay? So, now here we are, right? We're in the body. So how do we transcend it? Through joy, pleasure, creativity, freedom, aliveness, and an openness to be gifted to, and discovery. I'm in the body now. I'm in the body now. I'm in the body now. How do I get out? I get out by no longer using it to make me feel guilty or anyone else. And I use it to show how much love and joy and peace and abundance and healing and forgiveness can come through this body right here, right now, while I'm in the world. Then that creates a portal, a big old hole, and through that big old hole, God comes through, creates relationships, creates situations and circumstances. That's what it means by being whole. That's why I'm looking so forward to that, to the advanced mind training thing. I don't care how many people here, we'll get a chance to really crack open the egg together.
When is your next one?
It's the third.
The third?
Mm-hmm. From 10 to 3. And if still you're going to do it, it's available. You sign up for it up front. Because I'm just getting warmed up mm-hmm. in terms of what Spirit wants to say through me. And it's time to stop. And that fellow about the AMP, I have more time than I can answer questions. We can discuss. We can go deeper. We can see how you apply it to your personal situation. It's not complex. Complexity is a smoke screen. The more complex you need your life to be, it's just a delaying maneuver. It's not complex. We have very simple answers tonight. Breathe. Don't forget, hang on to your paper. There's something I want to do with it. Okay? So I'm going to do the love offering. Thank you for sharing.
Earl, can I mention a change?
Yeah, please go ahead.
Those of you who don't know about this.
And this is good, y'all. This is good. I'm telling you. Tell about it.
All right. We're having a chili cook-off fundraiser for Unity Temple. So we want y'all to come and have some chili and look at the Unity Temple. We're also going to have...
Could you relate to what I was saying? Did you see yourself in a lot of what was said?
Yeah.
Do you feel that sometimes we do have a misperception of our body and fear around that? That's ridiculous. And have you ever felt guilty?
No.
And don't you see yourself as in a body?
Mm.
You know. And so realizing what you are beyond the body doesn't mean that you still want to express yourself through the body. It just means you're fine and use it for the reason that it was created, which was to give you an opportunity to physically perceive your own creative ability. You're here to physically perceive your own creations, yourself. Sometimes we got all of this guilt and fear and competition stuff, but that wasn't what this was supposed to be about. This was supposed to be about joy and creativity and aliveness and seeing what you were capable of and seeing how you could bring more love and more joy and more excitement into the world. And somehow along the line, that thought of guilt created a reality where we thought it was all about sacrifice and suffering and punishment. And we knew it wasn't true because there was nothing about it we could really enjoy. I'm so glad I was never satisfied with less than what I wanted. Because it always kept me moving forward and not getting lost in the illusion. You know, it's like, this is good, I appreciate it, but I can feel there's something even realer. There's something even more safe. There's something even more real. There's something even more loving. There's something I can count on even more. This is good. Thank you, universe. Thank you, God. Thank you, every one of you. But I also know that what I deserve is more than what I can create. So I need to open myself up, let it come through me, and I do that by having the thoughts that Earl Purdy has without getting upset with Earl Purdy about having them, whatever they are. Try. You'll like it. Okay, so here we go. This is the last part. You got the book? Okay. He says, now, correction has one answer for all this. Correction has one answer for all this. Correction has one answer for all this. Correction has one answer. Correction has one answer. Correction has one answer for this. And the world can rest on this. There's one answer. How much do I need to remember? One answer. Is that a whole lot of answers? Or is that just one answer? Okay, now what makes this answer unattractive?
It's only one.
Thank you. And I didn't think of it. And it's not the answer that I've made up to, that I need.
It's not the answer I came up with, so you know what? I'm not too thrilled about this. So now I'm going to teach you one of the most powerful things you can do in truth. You say the truth completely insincerely. So can you say this without 100% believing in it? Can you say this without 100% believing in it?
Yeah.
Can you say this without 100% wanting to say this?
Yeah.
Can you do it?
Yeah.
Okay, here's the thing. In that picture, this is like the ultimate incantation. This is like the ultimate chant. Okay? And we're going to say it as many times as we can. We got about 3 minutes to eight. We're going to say it as many times as we can in the next 3 minutes. You got it? Here we go. Remember, you don't have to believe it. And I'll say it first. You can mistake interpretation for the truth. You're making a mistake. You think your interpretations of what's going on are the truth. You're just mistaking your interpretations as the truth. And you are wrong. What?
Thank God.
What is God saying to us?
You are wrong.
Yes, and
you
are here.
You are wrong.
You're wrong. What? Yeah, your interpretations are wrong. What? Your interpretations are wrong. 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 But a mistake is not a sin. Because you made a mistake is not a sin. Just because you made a mistake and your interpretations are not true, that's not a sin. I love this. Nor has reality been taken from his throne by your mistakes. God has not been, reality, the truth has not been taken from his throne by your mistakes. Your mistakes, they haven't had any effect on anything this week. Your mistakes haven't had any effect on anything that God created. Your mistakes have not had any effect on anything that's real. No matter how you feel about yourself, it's not having any effect on what's real about you, that you're loving and lovable. God rules forever. God reigns forever. Love rules forever. Viva la love! Love rules forever. God rules forever. God reigns 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 forever. Love rules forever. Love rules forever. So that means God's laws alone prevail upon you and on the world. So the only rules, the only laws that are really operating in this world are the laws of love, the laws of God, the laws of truth. If we get in touch with those, they supersede the laws of man. They supersede the laws of guilt. They supersede the laws of lack. They supersede the laws of attack. God's laws rule. So all the thoughts that you've ever had, all the mistakes you've ever made, everything you ever thought you did that was really wrong and really bad and really hurt somebody and really did something horrible, they were not sins. You haven't affected anything that's real. But you made yourself feel guilty, and so you give it to yourself. And that's why your reality seems so small, and what I'm saying can seem so diminutive and meaningless. Because you bought your own story. God's love remains the only thing there is. Fear is an illusion. Fear is a false idea. For you are like God. So in order to heal, it does become essential for you to let all your own mistakes be corrected. Those of you who have the energy to do it, would you say, I'm willing to let all my own mistakes be corrected?
I'm willing to let all my own mistakes be corrected.
I'm willing to let all my own mistakes be corrected.
So if you sense even the faintest hint of irritation in yourself when you respond to anybody, if you feel even the slightest hint of irritation as you respond to anybody, if you feel the slightest hint of irritation as you respond to anybody, let you instantly realize that you made an interpretation that's not true. I'm mad at you. I made an interpretation that's not true. I'm mad at you. I've made an interpretation that's not true. I'm mad at you. I've made an interpretation that is not true. I am mad at myself. I'm making interpretations that are not true. I'm angry at myself. I'm making interpretations that are not true. I'm irritated at you. I'm making, honey, can I tell you something? What, babe? You know something? I'm making an interpretation that's not true about you right now. I'm really making an interpretation about you that's not true right now. Let me tell you what's going on. What's going on? Well, I made an interpretation of you that's just not true right now. That's why I'm so upset. I made an interpretation that's not true. So when you realize that you made an interpretation that's not true because you're feeling like crap or you're feeling irritated or you're feeling upset, then you turn within to your eternal guide and you let the truth judge what the response should be. I'm mad right now, so I'm making interpretations that's not true. What does the course tell me to say in this situation? What does Spirit tell me to do? What do my teachers tell me to do? What was the stuff I say I believe in for my spiritual growth? What would it tell me to do right now? I'm upset right now, so I made an interpretation that's not true. Let me turn within to my eternal guide and let it tell me how I should look at this situation. See, this is the answer. But we didn't make it up, so it's diminutive and meaningless. You know what I mean? For some of you, and when I say for some of you, I'm not saying it to be cruel. I'm saying that just to tell the truth. In other words, if it's diminutive and meaningless, that's what the book said it would be when you're lost in your own illusion about what you think your problem is. When you hear the truth, it won't mean a darn thing to you. But that doesn't make it any less the truth. I don't care what you think about yourself. Love still rules. God still rules. You haven't affected anything that's real. You can't break the universe. You can't change me. I'm loved regardless of what you think of me. You're loved regardless of what I think of you. It doesn't matter what you think of me. It doesn't matter what I think of you. And when I look at it that way, because I know you're valuable whether I think so or not, that's when I create the hole. That's when I create the opening. That's when I let go of my guilt. And then I can let the love and the abundance and the peace and the joy and the right relationships come through me to you and to me. But I need somebody to remind me of this. Because I'm in a world that I created that reinforces the idea of guilt and fear all the time. I need people in my life that want to say, that's the lie I don't want to support anymore. And I want to join with other people who don't want to support that lie, but they're also willing to admit they do have illusions in their mind. I don't need to be around nobody that thinks that they do it all right, but they're in a miserable world. That should be your hint right there. If you're so perfect in your perception, what are you doing here? I think crappy thoughts and I'm proud. I can think I'm so good. Sometimes I just test myself. I go,
I hope the train run over and have them maybe a little bit on the railroad track. Can I feel innocent about that?
Because it's an illusion. They didn't just run on about a train and they're a little bits on the railroad track. I promise you that most of the things that you are afraid of will never happen. I can say that with total confidence. Most, if not every single one of the things that you are afraid that might happen to you, that you made yourself afraid about, will never happen. It won't happen. It won't happen. Here's the end of it. So if you let the truth and you judge what the response should be, he says, so are you healed. And in your healing is the person healed with you. You check that out. In your healing is the person healed with you. In your happiness, everyone else's happiness will come through your happiness. You owe it to me, you doggone it. You all owe it to me to be as successful and happy and as glorious and as peaceful as you can possibly can. You owe it to me to give yourself what you deserve.
deserve. You owe it to me to let yourself be loved and appreciated and fulfilled. You owe it to me, and I owe it to you. So good at the cosmos.
You just need a wine club to say that.
Of course, said the way we got here was we remembered not to laugh. He said the way we got here was we remembered not to laugh. That's why I can't get too serious. But when I get too serious, I know I'm making the illusion real. Even if I get too serious about this. The sole responsibility of God's secrets to accept the atonement for themselves. The sole responsibility that you have is to accept the truth for yourself. Your only responsibility is to accept the truth for yourself. Your only responsibility is to accept the truth for yourself. Your only responsibility is to accept the truth for yourself. Your only responsibility is to accept your truth for yourself. Your only responsibility is to accept your truth for yourself. Atonement means correction. So your only responsibility is to accept the correction for yourself. When you have accepted correction for yourself, then you will become a miracle worker when you have accepted the happiness and truth for yourself. He didn't say you had to make everybody else around you accept the truth. He didn't say we had to make anybody else around us accept the truth. He said when we accept the truth for ourselves, if we accept the truth for ourselves, then we become the miracle workers. Then we become the love. Then we become the joy. Your only responsibility is if you say you believe in this or whatever you say you believe in, your only responsibility is to accept it for yourself. Your only responsibility, Earl, is to accept it for yourself. Your only responsibility, Earl, is to believe this for yourself. He said, then you know your sins have been forgiven you. Because the truth is you are sinless, and the truth is you are guiltless, and the truth is that you are beautiful. So you just need to accept that for yourself. Your only responsibility is to accept that for yourself. That means you are no longer condemning yourself. And so how then can you condemn anybody else if you're not condemning yourself? How could you condemn anybody else if you're no longer condemning yourself? How could you condemn anybody else? And who is there that your forgiveness could fail to heal? There's nobody that your happiness could fail to heal. There's nobody that your joy could fail to heal. Your joy heals. Your happiness heals. Your fulfillment heals. Your seeing yourself as the beautiful, wonderful, holy being that you are, it heals. So, as we walk out the door, last time, you go to the same interpretation for the truth. Is not a sin, nor has reality been taken from its throne by your mistakes. God reigns forever, and God's laws alone prevail upon you and upon the world. The universe's love for you, God's love for you, remains the only thing there is. The only thing there is your Creator's love for you. The only thing there is your Creator's love for you. The only thing that is God's love for you. Your fear is just a false idea, because you are like God.
This is what you do with your picture.
and then throw